right, Psalm 25. Psalm 25. This time through the Psalms, I was telling Daniel this a while ago, but I've been through the Psalms a couple of times, but this time through it, it's very, very eye-opening. Much more eye-opening than it has been in the past. David's relationship with the Lord is—he understands so much, and it's not just relegated. It's not like just this Old Testament stuff. This is a real relationship with God that's New Testament, just pre Jesus Christ. So Psalm 25. I want you to pay attention to some of these phrases, because there's one theme that goes through this, and it is essentially that God's guidance is redemptive, that his direction is redemptive. And that's a thought, again, that runs throughout the Bible, but it's why it's important that when Jesus tells people to follow him, when Paul would say things like, in fact, in Romans 8:14, let me read it to you. I don't want to mess it up. But Paul would say, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's the relationship. It's the children of God and the family of God seeks the Father for instruction and listens to the Father's instruction. A lot of proverbs about that. And then the fact that the Lord is a shepherd and he leads. And the reason that's important, it's the reason it's important to follow, and the reason it's important to be guided by the Lord is because his direction is redemptive. And that's the idea. And back in Psalm 25, notice these thoughts. Verse 4, "Show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, teach me." Verse 8, he will teach sinners in the way. Verse 9, the meek will he guide. So all of these are directive. This is about the Lord being someone who's making a path clear here. Verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. So way and guide and teach and paths and ways and guide and teach and paths. All of these things are things that are David's talking about as guidance from the Lord. So this is the idea, but the guidance is, it leads somewhere. It's redemptive. It's redemption. And so with that thought in mind, I was thinking about this, you know, and as far as I've been asked before about a call to ministry and how does that happen and things like that. And I think the best way I could describe something like that in my own life is early on, this truth, I didn't know how to explain, I guess, this truth, but it was pretty clear that God's thoughts and God's directions were redemptive in nature. Like this is what he's doing when he's giving instruction. He's redeeming people out of darkness. He's redeeming people out of sin and things like that when he gives instructions. And that became pretty clear early on, just being somewhat familiar with the Bible and being exposed to the Bible. And it was kind of like, all right, if that's the case, if what God is doing and his instruction in the scriptures are redemption and redemptive, what better way to live your life than just immerse yourself in this redemptive thing that God's doing. And so, you know, it wasn't like a, I don't know, like a light out of heaven or anything. It was just like, you know, you just think about this stuff in life. And it's like, this makes sense. It just makes a lot of sense. And so this is kind of like David's relationship to the Lord. He seeks God's direction because he understands his direction leads to and is even a process of redemption and reclaiming people out of darkness and into light. And so that said, let me pray and we'll go through this psalm. And you kind of got the gist of it, you know, this is the meat of it. But we'll go through it and you'll probably see this theme over and over in this psalm because this is David's theology. This is how he, one of the ways he relates to God. So let's pray and then we'll talk about this. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you'd guide us through this and help us understand what we're reading. Help us make whatever application needs to be made. Help us be encouraged in the midweek here. And we've got a couple more days of work and, you know, for this week and maybe school and things like that. So I pray that you'd give us direction tonight, give us encouragement, give us help. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So God's guidance, the whole thing really is God's guidance. At the end of the psalm, you'll notice a lot of deliverance. David will talk about the Lord plucking his feet out of the net. He'll talk about bringing him out of distress. He'll talk about forgiveness. He'll talk about the Lord keeping his soul. He'll talk about the Lord delivering him. But all of it's tied to his direction. It's all tied to the direction God gives. John would say things like walk in the light. Why? Because this is the process of redemption. This is how God's redemptive work works and how it operates. So David says in verses, you know, 1-5 here, just read these. It says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee." There's that theme again. I trust in the Lord. "Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." So if there's going to be somebody that's ashamed or somebody that's going to regret something, let it be the ones that aren't listening to the Lord, not the ones who are. Verse 4, "Show me thy ways." There it is. I need some direction. I need the redemption. I need the redemptive thoughts of God. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day." The first 5 verses, you could say, David understands that God's guidance, it's one of the things it requires is patience. It requires that you not get ahead of the Lord. It requires, like David is saying, "Lord, I'm trusting you to come through, and my temptation is to take control of this thing and you know, at least try to offset some of the pain I'm going to feel. But Lord, I trust you to handle this." So I think sometimes in life we don't give God enough time. We don't put enough time into direction from the Lord because we haven't fully grasped the concept that his direction is redemption. It is redemptive. This is what he's trying to do. So we maybe not give God enough time. The voice of the Bible, the voice of the scriptures, we're not familiar enough with these things to know what the direction is. And we don't really have enough attention span to learn the direction because some of these things they're building blocks, and you learn this and then you learn that. It's 1 + 1, it's 2 + 2, it's 3 + 3. And then you addition, subtraction, then multiplication and division, and you just build on these things, but we can't get out of addition because we can't pay attention enough. And so this is maybe a common problem. So David talks about God's guidance over and over in this psalm, his guidance being redemptive, his direction, the Lord's direction is going to require patience, it's going to require long-suffering, it's going to require waiting on the Lord, which David says here, that he's just waiting. He's waiting for the Lord to come through. It may seem like he's not going to, but that's the temptation. It's it seems that way, but that's not the reality. And so God's direction, maybe just it's one step at a time. You know, it's you may not know ultimately where this thing is going or where the whole thing ends up or the whole direction of this goes, but you know two things about it. You know it's redemptive. You know his direction is good. And you know that where he's leading you is good. And then you also know that if you're in his will and in his direction, then you're in the right place. This is the right place. So God's direction, I think a lot of times it's one step at a time. We're more comfortable with maybe 5 or 10 steps down the road. We need to know what's happening. Where is this going? Where is this ultimately going? But I think to understand God's character in this and the nature of his leadership is what you need to know about. What is the nature of his leadership? It's good. It's again, redemption. So verses 1 through 5 talk about a little bit about patience and a little bit about the temptation to abandon God's leadership. Verses 6 through 14 is kind of it's the meat of this thing. It's God's guidance is how redemptive work operates. So verse 6, he says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for goodness sake, O Lord." So David is, the idea being that God is dealing with the sinner here. And David admits that, he freely admits that he needs direction. He needs light from the Lord. And so this is assumed. It's assumed that God is dealing with people who have perverted his ways, people who have not listened to him. And so David says, don't remember these things. Remember your tender mercies, your loving kindness. Don't remember the sins of my youth. You know, I did things in my teenage years that I don't want you to think about. And don't hold them against me. David says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Verse 8, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. That's the redemptive thing. He's going to teach sinners the way. That means the sinner is going to conform and walk according to this holy path now because of God's light and his direction here. That's the idea, and it's so much the idea throughout this psalm. Verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way again and again. I'm going to stop there and say a couple things here. In the New Testament, when you get to the New Testament, this thought is not abandoned. This is still thought that they are essentially led by the Spirit. These are the children of God, the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus would say, my sheep hear my voice, they know me and they follow me. This is God's flock. This is God's family. These are the children of God, the ones who have God as their father, the ones who have God as their instructor, the ones who have the Lord as their shepherd. These are God's people. And it's completely true throughout the New Testament, just as it is in this psalm, that God's direction over and over has this in mind, that he is trying to take sinners out of the darkness and into the light. He is, again, it's redemptive, as I keep saying that. But there's a few episodes that come to mind. I remember, y'all remember the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember Acts 8. So you've got this Ethiopian man. He has come to Jerusalem. He's trying to learn about the Jewish religion. He probably knows a lot about it, but he's heard about Jesus Christ. He doesn't know the full story yet. He's reading Isaiah, and then he has this question about, is Isaiah talking about Jesus or is he talking about somebody else? And then Philip is sent to this man to explain, no, this Isaiah's talking about Jesus here. And so he explains and he preaches Jesus to him. But one of the things that's said in there is, Philip asks this man, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, what? He says, how can I except somebody guide me? I need direction. I just need some light. And that light from the Lord leads in the direction of redemption. That's the idea. So then Paul would write to the Ephesians and he would say, God, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the edification of the body, to build up the body. What's the nature of these people's job? The nature of these people's job is to teach, is to instruct, is to give information that is redemptive in nature to lead people out of darkness into light. That's the idea. That was what the prophets were trying to do. That was what the apostles were trying to do with the nation. That was what pastors and teachers are trying to do. And so the Lord over and over says exactly what David is saying. Lord, teach me, give me light, because I know your leadership is light out of darkness. It is redemption out of death. It is good. It's holy. It's right. So think about a few other things, but because God's guidance is redemptive, it implies obviously that he's working with broken things. So David says these things like, don't remember the sins of my youth. There's things I picked up in my youth, things he did in his youth that he's not doing now, and he just doesn't want them remembered. He doesn't have any ties to them. He's not addicted to them. He doesn't want those things to be thought about it or brought up against him. He brings up God's goodness. For your goodness sake, be good to me. Give me light. Give me direction. Give me help. And so it's clear that it implies God is working with broken things, and he knows that. These broken, sinful people, you know, you get what you need from the Lord. But in order to get that, he says a couple things. David says this in verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment. So God is going to do his part in this. But man has a responsibility in this. To approach life, to approach the Lord in meekness and humility. And so a sinner, the only difference between a redeemed sinner and an unredeemed sinner is one of them approaches the Lord in humility and gets the direction and gets the light and gets the salvation and gets the redemption that he needs. And the other one approaches the Lord in pride and arrogance, and he doesn't get it. It's the Pharisee and the publican situation. So David talks about the responsibility he has. He has to be meek. This is who the Lord's going to teach. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So God's guidance not only requires patience, it requires humility. It requires obedience. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get the light, if you're going to get the help you need, then pay attention to the direction you're given. That is true in life. It's true with kids and parents. It's just true in life. The fact that you got the direction, that doesn't help, because the direction, it's not just words in the air. The direction is for, it has a purpose. It has, you know, it's like when you tell your son or daughter to get out of the street. You're not just saying get out of the street to just say get out of the street. You're saying get out of the street so they'll get out of the street. That's the idea. And so the same way with the Lord's words. His words are life-giving, and he's trying to impute life to people. So the responsibility on the hearer is to be humble, to be meek, to listen, to take instruction, just like the Proverbs would say over and over. That if you can't learn how to take instruction, then you can't learn how to anything. You can't really learn anything in life. So meek, obedient. What does he say in verse 11? Or verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So the paths of the Lord are this way to the people who have this responsibility and keep this responsibility. Verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. It is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So fear of the Lord, God-fearing people. Verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That's God-fearing. And he will show them his covenant. So all of these things deal with the responsibility of the hearer. And David, he does these things. He is this person. He is God-fearing. He is humble. He is meek. He is obedient. And so he fully expects God's direction and God's help. He trusts in the Lord. He knows God's direction is salvation. It's light. It's all of these things. And so the very end of this, verses 15 through 22, he talks about the blessings of this. This is the actual redemption that happens in his life. He says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. And how's he going to do that? Well, the Lord gave light. David listened to the direction. And the direction was, get out of the net. And so David can get out of the net. Turn thee, verse 16, unto me. Have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. You know, I'm sure you know what that means. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. That's part of the redemption. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. There's another benefit of this redemption. Forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul, verse 20. That's redemption. Deliver me, redemption. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. There it is. He started off with trust in the Lord, and he ends it up with trust in the Lord. What is the trust? He hears the Lord's direction. He follows the Lord's direction. He has a right attitude about the Lord's direction, and the Lord's direction is redemption. And it brings all of these benefits. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. There it is. Just encouraging himself to be patient with this. And maybe the Lord's got other things he's going to have to take care of before he deals with David's particular situation. I don't know. But David's got to wait for a little bit, longer than he probably wants to. And then here's the word, verse 22, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Redeem. That's redemption, of course. And so the one thing that comes out in this, just to restate it simply, is God's guidance is redemption. His direction is redemption. That's why he's characterized as a father. That's why he's characterized as a shepherd. That's why Paul would say what he says in Romans about the people that follow the Spirit of God, that are led by the Spirit of God, these are God's children. He would say it again in Galatians when he's dealing with the law and those that are trying to put people back under the Mosaic law. And Paul would say it this way, in fact, let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 6, I think it is. I think this is it. Or Galatians 5, maybe, verse 14 or 16, somewhere in here. Oh, let's see. I got to find it now. There it is, 16. It's 5:16. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's another place that he says that there's no law against this. I think it's, maybe got to keep reading. Yeah, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, there it is, leading of the Spirit. If you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So law is for not, it's not for law-abiding people. It only has things to say to, at least that part of the law, has things to say to criminals. It doesn't have anything to say to people who are led by the Spirit of God. And so Paul points that out. But that's the same thing David is saying here. Guide me, teach me, show me, instruct me, give me the path, give me the way, give me the direction. I want to approach you in humility. I want to approach you in meekness. I want to approach you as a God-fearing man. I want to learn because I understand that what you're saying and the light you're giving is like a parent talking to a child. And it's good direction, and it's redemptive, and it's life-giving. And David gets that, and I mean it's so good. It's just such a good understanding of the relationship to God, and its relationship to God is, I don't know, it's so far above what you read with other, most of the Israelites don't seem to understand this. But that's Psalm 25. God's guidance is redemptive guidance. It always is. So hope that's helpful. Let's pray. We'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for everybody that's here this evening. I pray it's something to get our minds on your direction, something to prepare our hearts to listen, because sometimes your direction is contrary to what we think it should be. And I pray that you would use this to soften our hearts towards what you're saying, because understand that what you're saying is life, and it's health, and it's good. That's all we need to know, and we just need to be humble and listen when you give the direction that you do. And there's a lot of things that you say in here. So, Father, I pray that you would apply it to the particulars of our lives and situations, wherever we are, whatever we're dealing with, and just be mindful that you would help us to be mindful of this, that all of your direction is redemptive, and you will take care of your responsibility as a father to give good advice, and it's our responsibility to receive that advice and receive it with the right attitude, abandon our own thoughts wherever we need to abandon them, and just trust you. And so I pray that you'd help us do that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.